The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If I was a Cowboy fan, I would be really, really salty this morning. Because let's be honest, if you're in a game with the Patriots, you got a chance to win, you would prefer better decision-making down the stretch. Because it's not always going to happen. Ask the Texans. Normally, you play games like that, you're getting your ass beat. Yep, but you're 9 minutes left to go in the game, and you've scored 6 points the entire game. I mean, that was like a 78-yard drive, and it ends in a field goal to cut the lead to 4. Remember that game Minesweeper? Pull up Minesweeper. No strategy. Just click 12 boxes and see if a bomb goes off. That's what you've got to do if you're going to box in range with Deontay Wilder. You just got to click the box and cross your fingers, because that bomb is trying to get you.
I thought he had a great quote about himself after the fight. My opponents have to be perfect for 12 rounds. I have to be perfect for 20 seconds.
That's it.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. Aaron likes it. He'll read it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Put your comments in the chat room there. If you miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Pretty good first 2 hours for a Monday. And hopefully everybody had an awesome weekend. If you're just getting in your car and heading home, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. We'll get you there in one piece. And everything's available on podcastarena.com if you missed it. And you can also, however you're listening, whether it's the Twitch channel or whether you're listening on the radio or stream or app or whatever, thanks for tuning in. And hopefully you're having a good Monday. I feel pretty
great
good.
Monday.
I feel pretty good about this Monday, AJ. I think we've had a good show so far.
Not too shabby.
The Red Bulls have really kicked in.
All right.
So,
did you go double Red Bull today?
I did.
My kids are off school, so my wife has no reason to wake up early. She didn't have to get the kids off to school.
Right.
So I beat her up this morning.
Save that.
I beat her to being awake this morning. Which meant that she normally makes my coffee.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to fight with the machine and whatever, so I just didn't drink coffee. So it's been a double Red Bull day for me, too.
Yeah, I didn't have anything this morning. And then, Mondays are always weird because we come in, we do our meetings. And, you know, then I do a bunch of work either here or at home. And then I feel like by the time I come back, it almost feels like a different day. It almost feels like it's Tuesday by the time I do the show. Are you going to get this over?
It's looking good. It's at 134 now. Michigan State just started fouling. And there's 40, how many seconds? 37, 6.
So you need how many points?
I need over 136. So I need
two more.
Three more.
Three more to hit the over.
I like where this is going for you.
Because I know we're going to get back into this conversation, let's take a phone call from Chase. Hello, Chase. Sports to you.
Hey, sports guys.
Go.
Hey, so I'm an LSU alum. In 2011, the Tigers beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa, then had to play them again in the national championship, and they lost. Assuming we take care of Aggie on Saturday, should LSU intentionally tank the SEC championship to keep Alabama out, force Georgia in? It's hard to beat Saban twice in one season.
I think the problem with that becomes LSU is in a position right now as the one seed where they won't have to beat Ohio State and Clemson. If LSU loses, they would have to beat both those teams, which I'd rather play Alabama 15 times in a row this season than play Ohio State.
Especially with no Tua, you've got a big advantage there.
So no, they should not tank it. They should go win the SEC. And more than likely, in my opinion, they'll play Utah. I guess Oklahoma's still a possibility. Alabama's still a possibility. I think Utah has the best resume. They continue to go out and create style points. So I'm going to go with no, do not tank. go win it and just, you know.
Yeah, and this is where we're going to argue, because I'd have a hard time making a case for Utah over Oklahoma at this point, because I just think the Pac-12 is significantly worse than the Big 12 even.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's just so – I mean, there's just so many bad teams in that conference that, you know, it's hard for me to look at any win that you have there and say, oh, wow, that's a great win, comparatively speaking. I mean, beating Washington, I don't think, is better than beating Baylor at this point. And
will Oklahoma have a win that's better than Oregon?
Than two-loss Oregon? Yeah, right now I think probably Baylor's a better win than that.
Do you think Baylor's a better football team than Oregon?
I think they're pretty comparable, actually.
I think you're out of your mind.
I just think you love the Pac-12 so much.
No, I just think Baylor's a trash can team that's fooled everybody all year.
And right now, if they played Oregon, I don't know that I would take Oregon against them. And I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. Now, maybe I'm giving them too much credit for beating the crap out of Texas and playing well against Oklahoma. But again, data points change. That's two pretty damn good weeks for them. That looks a hell of a lot better than Oregon losing damn Herm Edwards.
Oh, it does.
And see that, and that means you're going to be talking about a three-loss Oregon team if Utah beats them. Is that, did that get you over?
That yes.
Yeah.
Good. But, I mean, then suddenly that win doesn't look that sexy. So, you know, now, granted, I don't think the Big 12 is very good either, but I think there's at least more balance than there is in the Pac-12 and even the ACC for that matter. But, you know, that's where I disagree with you. I just think that the whole Utah making a case for thing is – I think it took a pretty big hit this week.
Here's what I've seen out of Oklahoma. They barely beat TCU. They barely beat Baylor. They barely beat Iowa State. And they got punked by Kansas State. And that's just the last four games.
And other than Kansas State, do you really think Utah would run the table through that gauntlet?
I do.
I don't. See, that's the thing.
I don't. I mean, listen, you want to talk about the Pac-12 being down? I get it. Utah is legit. That is a good football team.
I think they're a good football team, but in the end, I don't think they're going to have the resume because the conference isn't good enough. And they're not Clemson, who has national championship pedigree.
If we were talking about putting them up against a Big Ten team or an SEC team, I would agree with you. A Big 12 team, they can handle that. They can fade not playing in a great conference.
Not Oklahoma, they can't. Oklahoma, that committee loves Oklahoma. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that. If they go...
Well, a week ago, you told me they love Alabama. And
they
Alabama's
do. They love both of them. And that's the point. I think either one of those teams would get in over Utah. And I said it last week. Alabama will get in over Utah. We'll see what they look like in the standings tomorrow. And by the way, Utah might not beat Oregon, and that ends the conversation, which would be fine with me because I think they would
Utah's
be.
Utah's going to beat Oregon.
You know, I also think they'll get killed by whoever they play in the first round. But somebody says, AJ, I might have played in a poker tournament with you this weekend in Vegas at Excalibur.
Probably did.
It was a great lookalike. You were at Excalibur a lot.
I was. Yeah, Excalibur's greater sports book than MGM.
Well, and it's funny.
And it's right by the poker room.
They have more racetracks than they have at MGM available for me, which I like. Not that it would have done me any good Saturday. And plus, I like the fact that it's not nearly as crowded as MGM. MGM on a Saturday, man, you can't leave your seat because somebody will steal it. So, yeah, that's a nice room. But getting back, though, to your point about LSU, I think LSU fan who's trying to downgrade Ohio State over what they saw Saturday.
Oh, man.
I think you're missing the point. And it's like, go back and look at your Auburn game. Yeah. You didn't exactly destroy people there. And I kind of think this is a comparable game. And Ohio State was never.
That game was not close.
No, it wasn't.
I know the final score tells you that it was close because Penn State played good football for about a four-minute stretch in the second half.
And they got a couple turnovers.
And they got a turnover going into the end zone. I mean, otherwise, like, look at the statistical matchup. Look at yards per play, yards per attempt. I mean, they just got punked on both lines. Punked. And obviously, the skill position players, a big up arrow for Ohio State over Penn State. But I don't know, man. I came away impressed by that game.
Well, so did I, and that was the point I was going to make. I felt like I wanted to see what they would do when they were challenged. And
of course, a crazy SEC fan on my Twitter timeline was like, they almost lost today. They haven't played anybody. Like, Penn State's nobody. Like,
well, okay.
If you ask SEC fan who's played a good strength of schedule, No one outside the SEC has a good strength of schedule.
And that's silly because who have I compared Penn State to all year? They're the Florida of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we not count your Florida win?
And guess what? The SEC, and who's been driving the SEC bus around here for years, Fred? Who's been saying this is the best conference? It's not even close. Let's stop talking about any other conference. They're probably still the best conference. It's not a great conference. It's probably the weakest SEC we've had in a long time. And someone's like, well, what's it say that there's three teams still alive for the playoff? Well, it says that Alabama's built themselves a really good reputation, and the SEC's built themselves a really good reputation. But there's a lot of meh teams in the SEC this year.
Well, I think the difference is, I mean, I still think those teams are really good. I think the big difference is I haven't seen this many pushovers in the SEC in a long time. Like Arkansas has been a free square for 2 years. And, you know, even Mississippi and Mississippi State.
Those that were competitive for a while.
No, those are teams that had 10-win seasons, and now they're just not.
You remember
and,
Tennessee was supposed to be back?
Yeah, well.
It turns out they're not.
Just like the other UT.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, that's the thing. And the East has always kind of had that.
And Mizzou was supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah,
and they weren't. They're garbage.
But they're not. And Vandy and Kentucky's, they are what they are. And I don't know that Georgia, even Georgia's as good as I thought they were going to be. But
they're not as good as I thought they were going to be.
And, but them in Florida, I mean, those are good teams. But the rest of the SEC, you've got, to me, A&M is sort of the dividing line because they're going to beat all those teams and then they're going to lose to the good teams.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You need an A&M to or an Auburn or somebody. Well, I guess it's LSU this year, but I always think of LSU on a higher level than those schools because they, usually year in, year out, they're at least second to Alabama. But I think if LSU were to get, if they wind up with the one seed, which I think they prefer, whether it's Oklahoma or Utah or Alabama, I think they would be significant favorites over that team. And if you get by that, then it's one shot with Ohio State or Clemson. And I know that both those teams have really good defenses, but that's an elite offense.
Well, answer me this. Think about the SEC this year and think about which of these teams are playing above our expectations of them. LSU is, certainly.
Yeah.
They're 11-0.
Well, preseason expectations. By midseason,
okay, but let's just
you
say
have
even
to adjust
like,
that, right?
Yeah, that's, but I'm that's... saying even like looking at where they are now compared to what we expected going into the season and what we just expect in general of them as a program, LSU has exceeded that. I'll give you Georgia at 10-1. I'll say Georgia's at least met expectations this year. Is Alabama playing Alabama-level football this year?
Well, again, I think you have to look at it in terms of, and I still think their best win hasn't happened. So we got to see what happens against Auburn. But really, yeah, they had the game against LSU where they gave up 46 points. Okay, but are we not talking about what we think is one of the most elite offenses in the country? I think I can't judge anything from Western Carolina, but they've beaten the teams they've A&M'd everybody, but they also beat A&M.
Yeah.
Is basically what it amounts to. And the other team on their schedule that's going to be like that is going to be Auburn. And, again, really doesn't matter how much I downgrade those wins because when it comes down to the committee, they're going to want teams with the biggest names that are going to make for the – this gets down to something else I wanted to get to, which is a little off the beaten path, but a college football point. You know who's kind of in an interesting spot here going into this week is Navy. Navy has one loss in conference – to Memphis.
Okay.
Memphis plays Cincinnati. We talked about one of those two teams probably.
Elimination game.
Navy plays Houston, so that's a W. Unless the Cougars get two kick returns and get out game 3-4-1.
I'm mad at Navy because they broke the streak of SMU overs that I thought was basically just free money.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. But Navy beats SMU. So they have, if they win, they win. If Memphis loses to Cincinnati, Navy gets to play in the championship.
Yeah.
And it'd be Navy-Cincinnati. I think Navy could win that. I would almost be willing to bet money right now a two-loss Navy would be the choice for the big bowl game because that is a school that would bring a lot of attention and a lot of eyes and a lot more than Boise State or Appalachian State, which are going to be your other options.
The problem is I think the committee will look at that Notre Dame game where they weren't even competitive. I mean, they got that game was over 5 minutes in. It was like 21-0 instantly, and they just got their doors blown.
But see,
off.
Then when you start comparing losses, okay, they barely lost to Memphis, and you know Boise got.
I thought they lost by double digits.
No,
to Memphis.
No, it was like 38-35 or something like that. If I remember correctly,
then that's better than I thought it was. Yeah. I thought that was a double digit loss.
No, I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure that it was a close loss. And but the reality is, I mean, Boise had a bad loss.
Yeah.
And you know, and you don't think they'd want a service academy in one of those?
Oh, sure they would.
So if it comes down to it, they'll make a case for them.
And Boise, I know this. Wait, didn't Boise just lose to BYU?
Yeah.
By how many?
I don't remember, but they were 7-point favorites, and they were never in the game. Okay. I know that much. So to me, that's a horrible loss because I bet on them.
Well, there you go.
Navy lost 35-23 to Memphis.
Okay.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's.
And Boise lost 28-25 to BYU.
Okay, that's a much worse loss.
I don't think
so. BYU's terrible.
They're not going to put a 2-win Navy in over that resume from Boise.
Oh, I bet you they would because
guess what Boise did? And I know it ended up not being as impressive at the end of the season, but they played at Florida State to start the season.
And if they give them credit for that, then that would probably do it because that's probably better than I don't know if it's better than Navy's best win because so many of these it just depends on what you think of Florida State. Hey, they went in and played them.
Right. I mean, Navy went and played Notre Dame, which they do every year, but they played Notre Dame. They just got their heads blown off when they did it.
But if you wind up with wins over SMU, who wound up better than people think, boy, the rest of their schedule, though, they got the easy end of the, you know, they got South Florida from the other side and UConn from the other side.
But here's the other thing. I don't think Navy would beat Cincinnati if they did get there.
I don't think so either, but I'm throwing it out there right now. Two-loss Navy probably gets in over Boise and App State.
Okay.
Because that would include wins over that would include a win over Cincinnati at the end of the season in the championship game.
Which would be impressive because the only team so far who's beat Cincinnati is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And Cincinnati though they've really fallen off the last few weeks. We'll come back to that. What do I have here? Oh, yeah, we got to tell you about Brooklinen, which listen, guys, if you don't think that having really nice sheets makes a difference, believe me, it does. I never thought about it until we got these from Brooklinen. And for the holiday season, it's a perfect time to get a gift for something. It's a little cozier, bedding, loungewear, towels, more. And, man, this stuff is awesome. And even the more you wash it, the softer it gets. And believe me, I can tell the difference when we have those on the bed or if we have something else.
Well, here's the difference I can tell because I've long been a believer in high-quality sheets. But I've also long been the person who's had to pay for high-quality sheets. And that is no fun. Brooklinen, you get these sheets for way less than you're getting comparable quality sheets in like a department store or something like that. You are going to save yourself some money. You're going to have an incredible night's sleep. And you can get access to their biggest event ever and free shipping. Go to brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com before December 3rd. That's Brooklinen. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
The turkey, the football, and the after effect. Happy Thanksgiving from ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, a couple things from the text line. Possibility of Longhorn and Aggie playing in the Texas Bowl from St. Patrick. I guess there's a possibility.
There is one. I don't know if they deserve this bowl. Texas might be playing in like the Helicopter Bowl or something like that. Neither one of them deserve a bowl game, honestly.
Well, Husker Jeff says
Texas should be really concerned. And I'll be honest, I'm concerned about Tom Herman. Like, he's got a little bit of Bill O'Brien to him. Like, he's just a very unlikable dude. And
he's also a very cocky dude, and when things start going poorly,
he doesn't handle it well.
No. I think he's a really good coach who parlayed one great season into a big job he wanted.
Yep.
And that always concerns me. I thought he'd be successful there. I still think he'll be successful there.
He better hurry.
But yeah, I think next season the seat's going to be pretty hot for sure.
That's crazy, man. I mean, you would have thought after last year things were going the right direction, and everyone's saying, "Oh, well, wait till he gets his players in there."
Like, you know what the problem with that is? He's never had his players.
Yeah, Sam Ehlinger's not his player. He's the only reason you won games last year.
And yeah, that's the thing that happened at UH. I mean, he basically won with Tony Levine's guys, and you know it looked good because he got Ed Oliver, but rest of the players that he brought in, not a ton of talent there, comparatively speaking.
He's got to be worried.
But in that case, he also had a foot out the door the second year, so that's not going to be working real hard to recruit. But he's obviously recruiting well at Texas, at least by the numbers, but are they recruiting the right players for the program, which is what it always comes down to.
And I don't know if Texas A&M, every Aggie I talked to this year was like, okay, it's a ridiculously tough schedule. Clemson, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. If we win one or two of those games, we're legit. Well, if you don't win this one, that means you went 0-for in those games.
Yeah.
And A&M's their best win this season is probably at Ole Miss. I mean, that's not what you're paying Jimbo Fisher all that money for, right?
No, and to me, what's missing from A&M? I think they're first off. Auburn is who you should be beating at least if you're going to beat one of these teams. I mean, I thought they were going to beat Auburn this year, but Kellen Mond is just not developed at all.
No,
and for you to be competitive in that conference, you better have a stud quarterback, and they don't have one. And until he gets the Jameis Winston for A&M that he had at Florida State, I think this is what they're going to be. And that's not easy to do. I mean, forget what Jameis is as a pro. Guy was a damn good college player. Husker Jeff asked, doesn't the non-Power 5 only get in if they're highly ranked? No. There is one spot that goes to the highest ranked non-Power 5. And that's when I kind of came around to Navy because, you know, they were in the top 25. I could easily see them if they were to, you know, and again, there's a long shot here because I still think Memphis is going to beat Cincinnati. But if they got in there and beat Cincinnati, then who's ranked? I don't know where they're ranked right now. We'll see all of them again.
Cincinnati's like top 20.
Yeah. So you put that in there, then they're probably going to jump some of these other schools. And I mean, so much of it is who they want to see in there. And I think if you're talking about what would the committee rather see in a New Year's Six game, Navy or Boise, you'd rather see Navy.
Maybe.
I think so. The thing is, you know how it is. Service academies have a different.
But what's the greatest moment for one of those non-Power 5 teams came from Boise State. People still talk about that stupid play and then the kid proposing to his girlfriend. I mean, it's.
Yeah, now we're getting, 15 years ago, though?
Well, yeah. How many times have those teams really had those kind of moments?
I think Utah beating Alabama was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but nobody looks at Utah like that anymore, though.
No. Well, it's a different deal, but yeah, but I mean that, you know, that was cute 15 years ago, but since then, I mean, I think there's some blue field fatigue. I think there's some Boise fatigue out there.
Maybe so.
And yeah, hell, Boise should have lost to Wyoming. There's no guarantee they're going to win out either.
Well, I told you Navy, remember after the championship game, they would have Army.
And
Army sucks this year, but I could see Army ruining their season doing something like that. I could see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, especially after, and again, I don't know that they'd even beat Cincinnati. I don't think
they would.
But
I mean, I think we're kind of pipe dreaming.
But
they're
ranked. Here's the thing: they're ranked 24th, which right now is behind App State at 22 and Boise at 20. But if you win against Cincinnati, who's 18, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they jumped them past Boise, especially if Boise has any more clunkers there.
Yeah.
So he said UCF beat LSU, but who cares? I thought UCF beat Auburn. I thought LSU beat them.
When they won their championship,
I don't remember. Yeah, no, they beat Auburn, if I'm not mistaken. So, and the thing is, that's why I love betting the bowl where the non-Power 5 is playing the Power 5, because it's usually a team that thought it was going to be in the playoffs, and guys are already looking to their NFL careers. And for that other team, like the UCFs of the world, it's usually, you know, it's a big, big deal. LSU was a little bit different because Orgeron was trying to make a statement. So, I mean, so much of it comes down to, you know, what the motivation is. And in this case, yeah, I think a team like let's say you get Cincinnati and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's going to be a 20-point favorite in that game.
Yeah.
I would bet Cincinnati with both hands.
I would, too. I would really like to see Cincinnati play Alabama or Georgia, whatever team doesn't get into playoffs.
Alabama more so because they're going to have 10 kids who are looking to the NFL, and half of them aren't going to play, and the ones that do aren't going to be very motivated. They don't want to get hurt. You don't want to blow a knee.
Yeah, just fade whichever SEC team gets left out.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably who it's going to be. It's going to wind up being Alabama or Georgia. That'd be... Yeah. So just I'm already looking ahead to the betting on that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, if I'm almost certain UCF lost to LSU and beat Auburn.
Shows how much I even care about
Florida. I know, but but yeah, I think the texture is incorrect there.
All right. You know what's not incorrect? CBD. It's great. It's correct always. I mean, it's never had to take a test. Or any, I mean, I guess could take a drug test and you would pass, because guess what? Clean, safe product from CBDMD.com. 100% THC free. And guys, it's the CBD Freeze is my favorite. It's like a menthol and a proprietary blend of ingredients that provide like a cooling, comforting sensation after a workout. And it has changed the game for me. I hear Raheel talking about the CBD Recover, which is like it helps provide some pain relief and helps your body recover a little bit faster. It's like a lotion. I like that too, but I love that CBD Freeze. I take the CBD oil every morning. It just changes up my whole day. And whatever you do, if you need a little more mental sharpness, you've got a little everyday nagging pain, CBDMD.com has something for you. And to make it easier to try it out, they're offering a discount for our listeners, 20% off your order at CBDMD.com, and use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 at checkout.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. And yes, I was right. The win came against Auburn. That was the year they claimed the national championship because Auburn had beaten Alabama, who won, and then blah, blah, blah. And that was also an Auburn team that thought it was going to the playoffs. And that was a perfect time. And for UCF, it was their national championship.
Whoops.
But last year, I was on LSU because if you recall, it was a big deal for LSU to actually get to the Fiesta Bowl last year. A big deal for Orgeron. And they wanted to make a statement. That was a team that they wanted to show everybody, just like Texas did last year. Hey, LSU's back. And, you know, this is just the beginning. And it turns out it was. And sometimes... That's why, I mean, 90% of the bowls are meaningless, but sometimes you have games like that that you do use as a launch pad for something, or you do have it does mean something to these teams sometimes. And in that case, I thought it meant a lot to LSU and that they were better than UCF. So, yeah, UCF is going to, they've had their run, I think. All right, let's squeeze in a call real quick. Larry, what's up?
I still remember the exact words AJ used when talking about Charlie Polillo. When he sees Charlie looks at him with disapproving eyes. And it should be interesting, you doing a show with him on Friday. Charlie's an RJ, Phil Still guy, and you guys are RJ Bell fans. Of course, RJ's more NFL. And Phil Stills more into college, but it should be interesting.
Well, Charlie will only, because Charlie in his contract only works 2 hours a day, so he'll only work from 4 to 6, and then we'll actually talk to Brad on Friday
Yeah.
At 6.
Yeah, we'll have Brad on.
RJ and Fezzik are, you know, they're big stars, so they're taking a long weekend.
And I think Phil Steele's good. I'll take Brad Powers over Phil Steele.
Just, that's all right.
If we're having a draft,
now,
that's I'll take him.
Brad did call that Arizona State upsetting Oregon on the College Dream preview pod.
Called it outright?
Yeah.
Ooh,
he had said he liked them to cover, and he said, you know what? I even kind of like them to upset Oregon and beat
them.
Wow,
good call. Man, Oregon fought real hard. I hate when teams do this. They realize, oh, my God, we're going to lose, and then they really start cranking it up and trying to play. It's like, dude, why didn't you play like that the whole game? Like, suddenly you're playing, moving with some urgency instead of taking your time. Boneheads. They almost came back and won.
Yeah, they did.
That's what they get for letting themselves.
It did look like they never thought they were going to lose the game until the last, you know, 8 minutes or so. And it's like, hey, we better get our bleep together.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those that if you watched it, Arizona State wound up, I mean, that kid threw the ball all over the yard and got a bunch of yards. But I still think Oregon, to me, looked like the better team. They just didn't play well enough. And somebody had said on Twitter that Justin Herbert went from number one pick without question last year to having legitimate competition for the draft.
I don't think he was number one pick without question last year.
No, I mean, there was always that's where Tank for Tua came from. So there was always some thought that it might be Tua, it might be Herbert. But again, it's not like he hasn't really done much this year to dissuade me from wanting him as a quarterback in the NFL, because if you watch him play, you know, there's still some mistakes that you can get cleaned up, but he has the look of a guy who's going to be able to handle the NFL.
Oh, and he's got a lot of physical tools. Honestly, the only quarterback that I would even consider taking ahead of him now is Joe Burrow.
Well, with the injury, I think it kind of takes Tua out of the conversation. But if he were still healthy, I still
might take Justin Herbert number one. Like, as far as quarterbacks go, I would take Chase Young number one. That dude is a monster.
Well, it's going to be the Bengals who need a quarterback.
They better trade out of that pick.
Yeah, that would be a smart thing to do, AJ. How often does that happen?
And then get Chase Young, the Ohio guy. Get him. I mean, come on, it's a no brainer.
Well. I mean, the other thing they could look at doing is if you're going to draft a Chase Young, there's going to be free agent quarterbacks again that they could go out and get somebody for, and you're probably going to suck again, and maybe you're in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes the next year.
I mean, just pay Joe Flacco.
No, don't pay Joe Flacco. Can we at least agree that Joe Flacco is not even Case Keenum at this stage of his career?
Poor Joe.
But, you know, I think you just kind of hang around and see maybe – maybe Marcus Mariota's available, and you give that guy another shot. Maybe Jameis Winston's available. I don't know.
Mm.
You know that. I mean, all those guys are. Somebody's going to give them another opportunity, right?
Probably.
And it might as well be a team like the Bengals, because if they suck again, all right, now you're in for the next year. I like the idea of taking defense there, if you're the Bengals, because that guy's going to be good for a long time. And if you don't, you get your quarterback next year.
Because how sold are you? It's hard to tell a fan base. Yeah, I know we just went 0-16, but we're tanking this next season.
Well, no, not necessarily. You're going and getting a guy who failed elsewhere, but has a pedigree, right? Maybe he works out for you.
Yeah.
Maybe he becomes a player. And if he doesn't, oh, well. And, you know, the Bengals fan base, by now, I don't think they care. I mean, they've had to sit through so much garbage with that franchise. Even when they were making the playoffs every year, you knew they were going to lose in the first round. So... I don't know. I kind of like that idea, though, because I don't know that I'm not sold on the quarterbacks. I just feel like that's a safer pick long term.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Texans have done that twice, and once they should have taken a quarterback, and they didn't. And it worked out because the quarterback would have been Blake Bortles.
Good call.
So, exactly. And so they bet on the right guy. And sometimes if you're betting on the right guy, the right team, you should do it at mybookie.ag. And, guys, gave you a little hockey play earlier. Hopefully you jumped on that. AJ's been killing it with college basketball. You got the NFL game tonight if you want to get in on the action. And there's college basketball, college football, everything, NBA. You can get in on the NBA. It's all on mybookie.ag. They've got everything covered on there. Whatever you want to bet, it's there. And they've got in-game wagering. So if you get home a little late or you get in a little on a little late in the game, well, you can still bet it. Nobody pays out faster. That's the other big advantage. It's like a lot of these websites, you know, it's really, you know, part of the gamble is putting your money in. That's not the case with my bookie. They take care of you. You win, you get paid. That's simple. And if you sign up today, if you're new, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. And check out your deposit options when you sign up. Pick the one that's best for you, but you got to use promo code radio to get that double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. And if you're already on MyBookie, check your email. They got specials all the time. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie. I like that you're broke. You're broken like me.
Maybe that makes me a fool. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Yeah? What's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water.
I'll drink to that.
If you are doing traveling over the holiday season and you want to save money on your hotels, besthotelrates.com, best place to do it. You've got all the great hotels that you would be staying at anyway, only you're getting a discounted rate. Check it out. Easy to do. It's all right there in the name, besthotelrates.com.
All right. So I guess... We're back. We're back
on the Blitz.
You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz again. And before we get to the match report, I just want to mention that the biggest things that NFL teams can sell on their fans when the team's not good is hope.
And that's true.
And even when they're good, like, well, the Texans are. We know they're mediocre, but they've got Deshaun Watson, so there's hope. The Dolphins gave away all their players, but now they've got, what, 4 first-round picks? So there's hope. I think the Bengals, if they went and drafted Chase Young and then, you know, tried another quarterback and it didn't work and they were sucking again for Trevor Lawrence, there'd be hope. Hope is pretty much what almost every fan base has to have except for about 4.
Who was the quarterback when the Texans drafted Jadeveon Clowney?
God, was it the Hoyer-Mallett combo?
Did you feel hope after they drafted Clowney? Because you knew you still didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I think maybe it was. Was it Fitzy? Was Fitzy the quarterback then?
I don't remember who it was the year before they drafted
him. I was sold on hope because we didn't know that Bill O'Brien was a mediocre coach yet.
That's true.
So, again, that you could sell hope that way. But maybe I'm a dumbass for buying into hope.
I
lead you to the dumbass.
I got what you did there. Let's go to England, Birmingham, where a fight broke out, but not just any old fight. A mass brawl involving youths armed with machetes at a Birmingham theater while watching Frozen 2.
Oh, my God.
Police said up to 100 teenagers were involved in a major disorder. 5 were arrested, including a 13-year-old girl. Dozens of officers were sent to the complex. Several of them had to go to the hospital with injuries. This is why I wouldn't go to a soccer match with you. If this happens at Frozen 2, I mean, what do you think would happen at a rugby match or something? It's out of control.
Listen, a Premier League match would not be as boring as Frozen 2. That's why.
Let it go, Fred. Let it go. No.
Well done.
Let's see. All right. Let's say you are a stripper.
Okay.
Like,
I'm probably not making much money at it, but all right.
Like Lakeisha Harrell Ortiz, who is a stripper in Clearwater, Florida. And at around 1 a.m., the manager of the strip club told Lakeisha, hey, go on home for the night. And she, by the way, she's 35 years old. So you already know what kind of strip club this is.
Well, the fact that she's there after midnight is probably a good sign because usually that's the noon stripper.
And she did not want to go home at 1 a.m., apparently. An argument took place. Ortiz threw beer bottles and drinking glasses. The club's front door security restrained her and escorted her to a back room. As security and the club manager tried to calm her down, Ortiz kicked the manager directly in his genitals while she was wearing a high heel, quote, exotic dancer shoes. After being kicked, the victim backed up a couple steps, and Ortiz reportedly kicked him a second time in the stomach.
Not wise, guys.
Police officers arrived soon. They escorted her out of the club, at which point she kicked the manager a third time directly in the genitals.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Boy, is it.
Don't think she'll be working there again.
Ortiz was arrested on charges of battery and disorderly conduct, released on $650 bail. Paid her bail in cash. Really weird. a man who had been a customer at the club arrived at the Largo police station to complain about the arrest, though the arrest had been made by Clearwater police. So basically the guy like was like, hey, I had made some real progress with this stripper, and they kicked her out of the club. I'm going to file a complaint. That never works, by the way. Police arrested him on drunken driving charges for drunk.
Great.
Dumbass.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It wasn't, he just had a .163, nothing major.
No, so yeah. Like
that, but enough to get him sent to jail, which is what's always fun. So just a quick aside, the year that the we're going to keep doing Dumbass Report. Year before Clowney, that was the year Schaub got hurt. Keenum finished out, went 0-8.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we had some TJ Yates mixed in there.
But you still had Schaub at that point.
You still had Schaub, but there was no hope.
That 2014 season, Fitzpatrick started 12 games for him.
Okay.
But that would have been Kubiak's last year.
Right.
And so the next year, we were sold on O'Brien being a new coach.
Yes.
And that was bad sell.
Let's see. Oh, let's go with this one. A Portland, Oregon, a burglary suspect was found naked and covered in blood inside the house he was believed to be robbing on Saturday morning. Police responded to a call of a burglary in progress at around 11:30 a.m. By the way, Saturday, 11:30 a.m., people are usually home. That seems like not really peak burgling hours, right?
Yeah, if you're naked, though, it's probably
the
best time.
You don't have the cover of darkness. Nobody's going to be asleep, except maybe that stripper from the last
story.
Right,
because she was, yeah.
But, I mean, why are you trying to burgle at 11:30 a.m. on a Saturday? The caller told police her adult son was home and heard noises inside the house, as well as found blood in a hallway. Once the son was able to safely exit the house, officers entered with a canine unit. They then found a man inside naked and covered in blood. Officers believe he sustained several cuts from the window he had broken in to climb inside the home. He was identified as 31-year-old Bradley Maybe. Maybe he should pick a different profession.
Call me Maybe?
There's an estimated $2,500 worth of damage from the break-in, which does not include any cleaning costs for the blood. That's the worst
Dumbass.
Thing. Like, it's bad enough to get arrested. If you get arrested by a police dog, that's like the worst, because now you're hurt. A dog tried to kill you.
Would you want to be naked around an angry dog?
No. Because they just grab on or whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, that might look like a hot dog.
Might.
Or a Vienna sausage. It just depends.
I see what you did there.
All right, well.
Well, that's a dumbass report.
Okay, not a bad start to the week. I'm going to say Aaron gets a solid B+ today. He was rolling right along until a late fumble, but that's okay. We recovered, as we usually do. I give Hoffman an A+. See, my man Trey's going to be in there. You just doing the coach's show, or are you doing
he's all night.
Okay.
Coach's show, late hits, Hall of Fame.
Wow. You get a chance to get a lot of Trey tonight. All right. It's going to wrap it up. It just depends.
I'm not that way.
Hey, whatever you're into, man. It's totally cool. You're a big star now. You can pull whatever you want. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Everybody have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.